You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Oh yeah, come on. Hey, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John, you got it. That's right. All right. Have you seen the movie Wonder? If you have not seen the movie Wonder, you need to. Man, how many of you guys just like those movies that just make you feel good? This is one of those movies, and I love it. Here's what this movie does just so beautifully, perhaps even just masterfully. It shows two things that all people have in common, at least at some point in their lives. It shows how, on one hand, we can all kind of put on a public face and try to act one way when we're around other people. But then at the same time, it shows how we can all be carrying things. How there can all, we can all have things going on behind the scenes in our lives that may be hard, that may be difficult, and how sometimes we try to hide those things from other people, okay? But here's the thing I love the most. This movie then also demonstrates how genuine kindness can eliminate the need for any of us to lead that kind of a double life. It's amazing, okay? So I'm gonna say it from a spiritual perspective. I'll say it this way. You can experience peace in life with who you really are through kindness, okay? You can be who God created you to be. You can have peace with who you've already been, the things that you've already done, and you can move forward in the life that God has for you through the kindness of God. All right, so hey, we are continuing our movie-themed message this morning called At the Movies. We are watching fun clips together. We're seeing how they may just line up with the heart of God in the Bible. And I want to real quick just say welcome to everyone who's joining us online this morning. We're so glad you've tuned in. We just watched a clip from the movie Wonder, where the main character, Augie Pullman, he makes this statement. He says, "Be kind. Be kind, for everyone is fighting a hard battle. And if you want to see what people really are, all you have to do is look." Okay, I want to make a statement of my own. Kindness is underrated these days. I really think kindness is underrated these days. You see, we often equate kindness with just being nice, with just being pleasant, or we think kindness, it mainly has to do with smiling at people, making sure everybody gets along, not ruffling any feathers. But listen, if that's all that kindness really is, I'm just gonna say it, that's a pretty mundane virtue to have. Okay, if honestly that's your view, if that's what kindness amounts to for you, then yeah, it's no wonder that some people today just aren't concerned with being kind, because it could feel like a weakness in a culture like we live in today, where we're told to do anything and everything we can to get ourselves ahead. But church, God himself gives us a very different, a very strong and very compelling demonstration of what kindness really is all throughout his word. And I think if we could get our hearts wrapped around what that real kindness is, then we'd probably all agree that today, these days, kindness has become underrated, okay? But at the same time, even though I think it's underrated and therefore in short supply, it does not mean that kindness isn't in high demand. Everybody craves kindness. All people crave true kindness. People are longing for it, because an utter lack of kindness is having a profound and even just a devastating effect on our culture, on families, and on people. But here's the good news then. Genuine kindness still holds the power to reverse those devastating effects. Okay, when I was a seventh grader, there was a kid in my class, and I'm not gonna say his name because this is Newton, and half y'all would know who he is. And he was tall for a seventh grader. He was built for a seventh grader. He was one of those seventh graders that had the mustache in the seventh grade. You know what I'm talking about? And so we had been in many grades together already, and we weren't like close friends, but we always got along really well. But he was one of those kids that you did not want to mess with. How many of you guys remember that kid in your class? Right? I mean, he'd get in fights all the time. It's not even funny. It's not. What I'm about to, he would say, I'm just remembering some of them. He would say the most disrespectful and craziest things to the teachers It's not funny. It's not. But it would be like shock and awe. You know, for the rest of us in the class, we just couldn't believe our ears sometimes. And so here's what I knew about him, though, okay? I knew that his home life was rough. For a few months when we were growing up, his family went to the church that I went to when we were growing up, and it gave me just a little bit more insight on what his family life was really like, and it was rough. Okay, and so as a result, I began to realize this kindness wasn't something that he received consistently in his life. And so as a result, he then began to build up a tough exterior. He had walls put up, okay? But in the seventh grade, we got assigned to work on a project together. And it's hard to describe now, but I just remember having what I would call now compassion for him. And so I really went the extra mile to help him with his end of the project. And we ended up getting an A together. And he did not get A's often. It was a big deal for him. And he was just smiling when we got that grade. And he was happy, and then I was happy because he was happy. And after class, we walked out in the hall, and he grabbed me and he said, "Brandon, thank you. Thank you for helping me with my end of the project." So I could tell, listen, that the kindness that I'd shown him and then what it produced, I could tell it meant something to him. And so, but here's what he said. He just had a big smile on his face. And with all sincerity, here's what he said. He said, "Brandon, you've been a real friend to me. And so if anybody ever messes with you, I'll kill them." I'm serious, this really happened. And then he walked off. And so on one hand, I was like, this is sweet. On the other hand, I was like, I better not tell him if somebody does mess with me, because that would make me an accomplice to murder. All right, so I want you to see this though. All of us have experienced anger from other people. We've all experienced rudeness and bitterness and meanness and hatred and betrayal. You name it, and then we feel hurt, we feel isolated, we feel confused, weak, afraid, desperate, like we're not good enough, like we're unloved. And so here's what all those things will cause us to do. Hide. We'll put up walls. We get defensive, we close ourselves off, and we can live a double life where we act one way when we're around people in public, when in fact we feel terrible on the inside when we're all alone. Okay, but watch this though, church. Kindness holds the power to change all of that. Kindness allows people to open up. It can cause people just to pull the mask off. Enough kindness over time will allow somebody to simply be who they really are. So family, true kindness has the power to put an end to your need to live a double life. In fact, through the kindness and the power of Jesus, Jesus affords you the opportunity to live one life, the life that he created for you. I'll say it this way, the kindness of God will give you peace. And so here's something we all have to understand. Kindness is a God thing. Kindness is not just some virtue that some people possess. No, it is supernatural. It is a characteristic of God. Let me describe it for you. It's that he is faithful. He is truthful. He is helpful. He is affectionate. He is loyal. He is sympathetic, merciful, and patient with you and with me. He is all of those things, and so much so that the word kindness alone doesn't always do God's character and his nature justice. Okay, oftentimes in the Bible, God is honored for his, get this, his loving kindness. Two words that they combined together because they couldn't figure out another way to describe what he's really like. His loving kindness. Okay, I'll show this to you. Here's just a few examples, all right? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Watch. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his," watch this, two words made into one, "his loving kindness is everlasting." Psalm 36, 7. "How precious is your loving kindness, O God." Psalm 86, 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Come on. "And abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." It's the word chesed in Hebrew. I didn't even do it justice. Everybody say chesed. Somebody just spit popcorn on the person in front of you. All right, listen, the translators have struggled to define it in English because there just haven't been enough words. There's not just one word that can translate that word chesed. It's hard to describe the behavior, the heart that God has towards mankind, okay? It requires multiple words. It's loving kindness is essentially the best thing they've come up with, okay? That he wants the very best for you and he's willing to do his part to see it come to pass. That's love. But then as he does his part to see it come to pass, he does so with kindness, that is with faithfulness and truthfulness and helpfulness and affection and loyalty and sympathy and mercy and patience. Pastor Greg says this, that love is what gives kindness purpose. That's good. Come on, think about it, because kindness without love, let's just be honest, that's just pleasantry. That's just being nice. No, kindness, again, is faithfulness, truthfulness, helpfulness, affection, loyalty, sympathy, mercy, and patience, and probably so much more. And again, church, you have to see this. Every human craves those things. I need those things in my life. You do too. And listen, it's not that we simply need those things because other people have given us the opposite of those things. We need those things because we ourselves have hurt ourselves, and we've also hurt others. We need those things. I need those things for who I am, for who I've been, and for what I've done. I need somebody else to do for me what I can't do and what I've never been able to do for myself. I need loving kindness. You do too. And God is the only source for the real thing. Okay, it's like this. The world has this idea, has had this idea really throughout the ages, that if we could just get humans to behave, if we could just get humans to be nice, then society would be better and the world will be a better place. Almost like we could create our own utopia here on earth, okay? For a long time it was said, man, if we could just educate everybody in the world, then humans would behave, we'd get along, and everything would be fine. Okay, or then it was, if we could just eliminate poverty around the world, then humans would get along, society would be better, everybody would be fine. The only snag in that plan is that you're not dealing with the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that we are all sinful and depraved, and we are not able to fix our sin problem on our own. We need a Savior. We need the loving kindness of God in us and through us if we're going to stand a chance. Listen, you can't educate away depravity. And hey, I want to see a poverty cycle eliminated in this town. But you can't convince me for a moment that you can just throw money at poverty and erase depravity. We need the loving kindness of our God in us and through us. We are all depraved, and we need the loving kindness of God as given to us through the sinless, faithful, truthful, helpful, affectionate, loyal, merciful, patient life of Jesus as he was willing to go to the cross for you and for me to take on our depravity and die for the penalty of our sins. And then, but the grave couldn't hold him, so he rose to new life, and now he has brand new life. His very character, his very nature, his life that he will pour out into your life to anyone who would receive his love, that's kindness. And you need to see this. That kind of kindness changes everything. We see this in John chapter 5. If you got your Bibles open to John chapter 5, we're going to start looking through there. Listen, we're in John chapter 5, Jesus does this thing that he's been doing for a while now that's getting him a notorious reputation among the religious folks, okay? Get this. He goes and hangs out with, he's relational with, he's kind to a person that most people would have considered an outcast. It's like in the movie Wonder, most of the kids in the school wouldn't go sit with Augie Pullman at his table. There had been a rumor spread that they would get the plague if they did. But there's a couple brave kids who see past the lie. And they see, listen to me, they see the value and the worth that he has. And they go and sit with him. That's who Jesus is. That's how Jesus sees. So in John chapter 5, okay, he goes and sits by a well where a particular woman shows up. And listen, he sits at the lunch table with a particular woman who most people would have looked down upon, who most people would not have wanted to associate with. First off, she's a Samaritan. And so in a nutshell, here's what that means. The cultures around her would have considered her to be the scum of the earth. Second, most scholars agree she's very likely stuck in poverty herself. She has very little for anybody else to offer towards anybody else. And finally, if those things weren't enough, she's also carrying the weight of 5 failed marriages that she's been a part of. So real quick, let me just say, grace to you. Grace to what you've been through. Grace to what you've done. Jesus will come and sit at your lunch table. He's not afraid. So here's what Jesus does. He strikes up a conversation with her. He simply asks her, "Will you give me a drink of water?" And the Bible says she's shocked that he would even speak to her. She says, "Why would you ask me for a drink of water?" If your Bible's at John 5, verse 10, let's read verse 10. It says, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Now, what do you think, church? Do you think Jesus sounds like the kind of God who's really gung-ho to shame you and hold your past in your face and keep it against you? Or does he sound loving and generous and giving and kind? And I'm telling you, he flat out tells her he wants to give her the most valuable, most life-changing gift anyone could ever receive from God. Now, at this point, she still thinks he's talking about some kind of physical drinking water that must have magic capabilities. But when Jesus says living water, he's talking to her about giving her salvation. He's talking to her about giving her forgiveness for all of her sins. He's talking about giving her the gift of God, the Holy Spirit poured out into her life, his very nature, his very character poured out into hers. And so after some dialogue back and forth, listen, she still doesn't quite get it yet, but she says this. She says, "Sir, give me this water you're talking about. Give it to me, okay?" And church, what Jesus says next is profound. Okay, now if you're not careful though, you could read this and you could be quick to think that maybe what he says here next to her may actually be unkind or maybe a little rude. Or maybe it'll go against what I just said a minute ago, that he doesn't want to shame you or hold your past against you, okay? But don't go there yet. Just hold on as we read this, okay? Because I want you to see something. She says, "Give me this water you're talking about." And here's how Jesus responds. Verse 16, he says, "Go and get your husband. Go and get your husband, and I'll give it to you." "I don't have a husband," she responded. And so, Jesus, come on, because he can see who she really is. Here's what he says. He says, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." Okay, church, here's my question. What do you think? Is Jesus trying to shame her, or could it be that he's trying to help her? Come on, listen. Can I tell you something? Sometimes kindness doesn't always seem pleasant at first. Sometimes we have to come face to face with the truth. Yes, what has happened to us, but also who we've been, who we really are, and what we've done, okay? So that we can move forward with God and receive the life, the gift he wants to give us. That's called repentance. And come on, we all carry things. We have all sinned. Repentance is agreeing with God as he kindly points us to the truth, even if it hurts to face it sometimes, so that we can leave our sins, our old way of living behind, so that that mask can come off, so we can live one life, the life that God created for us moving forward. And the Bible says this, that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Besides, church, Jesus is showing us right here. Listen, he had never met this woman before. He had never met her, but he knew everything about her, didn't he? He's showing us right here that your mask doesn't work with Jesus, that there's no point in having one. So just be who you are with him. Just be open and transparent. He has seen you on your worst day and at your worst moments, and he still loves you. He saw you on your worst day. He saw you in your worst moment, and he still loved you right then and there. Come on, that's kindness. That he is faithful, that he loves you. He's not going anywhere no matter what. But it's that kindness that leads to repentance. And oftentimes we have to come face to face with the truth before we can truly repent and move forward in the plan God has for us. I'm pretty sure I've shared this before. You know how some people have their favorite Bible verses, which is awesome. And some people might say this, they say, I have a life verse. He leadeth me beside still waters. That is my life verse. You know, it's all, if you have a life verse, I'm not trying to knock you, okay? but I'm pretty sure I have discovered no one's favorite verse ever in the Bible. Okay, I'm pretty sure I've got no one's life verse ever. All right, you ready for this? Psalm 141, verse 5, watch this, says, let the godly strike me. What's it say right after that? It will be a kindness. In other words, let the godly, let somebody who loves me, let somebody who loves God and is living for God, let him slap me in the face. It will be a kindness. Let a brother or sister in Jesus who loves you and loves God, let him speak the truth to you. And watch, he says it right here. He says, if they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. Thank you, Jesus, for people who are willing to tell me the truth when I need to hear it. It is a kindness. Church, kindness can change everything. Jesus kindly strikes up a conversation with this woman. He's relational with her. He sees her for who she really is. He sees the hard battle that she is fighting and going through, and he doesn't reject or shame her. No, with grace and with love and with kindness, he calls her up to the life that God has for her. And watch what happens. Skip down to verse 28. It says, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. She was once an outcast in her village. Now she's on the way to becoming a disciple maker. She reciprocates the kindness shown to her. She shows kindness to others by leading them to Jesus. It goes on to say that they begged Jesus to stay there with them for 2 days because kindness is in high demand. And that he stayed. And that many from that village ended up giving their lives into the hands of God. Sounds like Newton Reborn to me. Have you allowed yourself to receive the love and kindness that Jesus wants to give you? Well, have you recognized who Jesus is and the gift he has for you? Have you asked him, Jesus, can I have this living water? If the answer is no, or maybe if you're not sure, what could keep you from doing that today? Church, I'm telling you, Jesus is pulling up to your lunch table right now. What if you invite him to sit down? And friends, you gotta see this. He loves you. He loves you. He sees you. Your mask is no good with Jesus. He sees what you've been through. He sees what you've done. He sees what you're carrying. And here's the best part. He still sees the worth and the value that you hold. He remembers that you were made in his image. He knows what you really look like, no matter how marred you might feel. He loves you. He's not going anywhere. He's not giving up on you. He's got grace for you. He's got a gift he wants to give you, a brand new life. No more double life, one life, peace. He has it for you. He wants your yesterdays settled because your past doesn't get to define you. And with Jesus, it cannot prevent you from moving forward and living in the life that he has for you. He loves you, and we do too. And listen, if you're having trouble believing me that Jesus loves you, then you need to look me right here. Come on, we love you. I love you. And who are we? Well, we are not good the way Jesus is good. Okay, we are so far from perfect, but we are a growing family who has begun and is experiencing the loving kindness of our God, and there is no turning back. And we want it for you so badly. We want you to experience his loving kindness. So listen, if you're having trouble believing me that God will show you his loving kindness, then here's what you got to do. You got to keep showing up with us, and we'll let you experience it from God through us. We'll keep giving it to you. Listen, if you're having trouble seeing yourself the way God sees you, you come ask one of us and we will tell you. You are priceless. You are a child of God. You hold eternal value. Come on, no one can be you better than you. And God loves you and we do too. And hear me right now. If you're sensing or feeling, I just don't know that I could ever live this life that God has for me. I don't know that he really wants to give me love and kindness. Then I want to encourage you. Listen, you need to hear this. I got a word for you. You need to change your lifestyle. Okay, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Sometimes we need to face the truth, though. Here's what you need to do. You need to change who you're hanging out with. You need to start showing up with a group of people like right here, where people have received and are receiving the kindness of God so that they can reciprocate it into your life and you can receive it. And I'm telling you, the kindness of God over time will cause you to pull that mask off. It will cause you to begin to believe that God is who he is, that he says who he does what he says he's gonna do, that he loves you and it's true. And that love, that gift that God has for you, that kindness will begin to work itself in and through your life. Church, we all need kindness. We need it. We crave it. So listen, I'm telling you, you need to be here. Sundays. If you're in a neighborhood gathering, you need to be in your neighborhood gathering consistently. If you're not yet in a neighborhood gathering, you need to go through Connect so we can plug you into a neighborhood gathering. You need to be where people, where God's people who have received and are receiving the kindness of God can reciprocate that into your life, and you can begin to reciprocate it back to them as well. So I'm telling you that the loving kindness of God can run its course in and through you. He will be faithful to you. He will be truthful with you. He will be helpful with you. He's always affectionate towards you, loyal, patient, merciful. He is kind. He loves you. If you're in here and you say you've already given your life to Jesus, that you've already received the gift of salvation from him, I just want you to be honest this morning. Are you kind? Are you a kind person? Because you see, the Bible says if we have the life of God inside of us, then kindness should be a fruit that our lives should be full of. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Come on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, that's who God is. And so if we're his kids and his life is in us, then we should personify those very things. Are you a kind person? Come on, is that how your coworkers would describe you? Is that how your kids would describe you? Is that how your spouse would describe you? Or listen, with so much grace, if we're just honest this morning, though, would maybe some of those folks say, no, he or she, they're unthoughtful. Man, they're judgmental. Man, why do they always have a bad attitude? Why are they always so short with me? Why are they so selfish? Come on, and listen, if that's the case, does it really have to do with the people who are in your life right now? Or could it be that there's some things that have happened to you and also maybe some things that you've done that you have not yet handed over to God, you've not yet repented of? And so it's not the people in your life right now, but it's those things that you're still carrying that are the real source of your unkindness. I want you to hear me, church. Jesus loves you. He sees behind the mask. He sees what you're carrying. He sees the way you're behaving. Guess what? He still hasn't rejected you. He's saying, I love you. But he's saying, I don't want you to carry it any longer. You were not meant to carry that burden. He's saying, I want you to hand it over to me. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you peace. One life, not a double life. One life, the life that he has for you. So listen, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Here at The Gathering, our aim is not to simply tell you about what God is like. Our aim is for you to experience firsthand who he really is. Okay, so I don't want to just sit here and tell you that God is kind. I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. He wants you to experience it. True kindness is in short supply these days. Our aim is for you to experience it firsthand from God, everything that he has for you. And then I believe his aim is for you to reciprocate it to the lives of other people around you until this city's reborn. If you call The Gathering home, then you have to see this. There should be people lined up at the pump to get a tank full of kindness from you and from me. You need his kindness. I need his kindness. Other people need it in and through us. If you need his kindness, I want to give you a moment to receive it. If you need his kindness this morning, I want to give you a moment to receive it. And if you say, man, I want to be kind, I want to give you a moment. We're going to ask God, would you work in and through us? Would you come and pour out your living water in us and have your way? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Well, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? It's very simply, Do you need that living water? Do you need the gift that God wants to pour out into your life? I'm telling you, he's not rejecting you. He's not mad at you. It's not coming with strings attached. Yeah, but you got to do this before I'll give it to you. No, come on. Do you need to receive from Jesus today? Do you need to give your life into his hands? Well, if the answer is yes, I want to pray for you. And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer where we're just going to make a decision. God, you're deciding. God, I want this gift you want to give me. I want salvation. I want the life that you have for me. And church family, listen, just in a religious culture like the one we live in, I want to encourage you. I don't want to lead anybody in some kind of one and done decision. Meaning this, I'm not looking for you just to get a goosebump or get some feeling right now and you say, oh, I prayed a prayer that one day in church, but then you walk out of here and it never meant anything after today. I'm wanting to, if you want to be led in a prayer where you're saying, Jesus, I want relationship with you. I want to commit to you. I want to follow you. I want to walk out the doors and move forward with you. I want to lead you. So I'm not going to make you raise your hand or anything like that. And if you want to commit your life to Jesus this morning, then come on, let's pray together. Just pray with me in your heart. Jesus, I commit my life into your hands. You are God, I am not. I have no kindness on my own. I've got no godly fruit in my life on my own. I need the living water that you want to pour out. And so I'm not making a one and done decision. I'm not gonna leave this moment behind. Jesus, I want to move forward with you. Would you pour out your life into mine? Would you save me? I give my life into your hands. Come and have your way. Come and change me. Lord, you say that springs of living water will begin to bubble up from within. Just ask him for that. God, I want springs of living water to begin to bubble up from within my spirit, within my soul, within my being. I want to be the man or the woman that you've created me to be. I choose to follow you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that in spite of all my sin, you never rejected me, that you took it upon yourself, that you died for me and you rose again and you have new life for me. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. I commit to move forward with you. Hey, maybe you're in here and you say, I've made that decision before. I prayed that before. Come on, what if we pray together and we invite the Holy Spirit to pour himself out into our lives? Jesus has a gift he wants to give you. His name is the Holy Spirit. What if we pray and invite him? Holy Spirit, I want every gift you want to pour out in me. Come on, there shouldn't be a single person in this place that wouldn't want that. Come on, pray this with me. Holy Spirit, pour out your life into me. I pray you'd baptize me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. I pray you would overflow in me. I pray you would fill me. I pray that it wouldn't be my life that gets to creep up and the unkindness and the things that aren't your fruit. I pray those things would stay dead. And I pray that your life, your fruit would be abundant in my life. And I'm not just making a one and done decision. I'm not looking for a feeling or a goosebump right now. I'm looking to move forward with you. Have your way in my life. I want relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I commit to you. Thank you. Come on, let's just thank him. Thank you for your gift, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for never rejecting me. Thank you for salvation. I move forward with you, Jesus. I love you, God. And I pray over this family that we would be the family that you have in mind. Use us, God. Help us. May we put kindness into practice this week to those around us that need it from us, God. May we invite people this next week. That's a kindness, Lord, we could show them. Jesus, let this city be reborn. We pray all this in your name. And my whole church family said, amen. Hey, come on. Can we thank God for what he's doing in this place? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.